Father. And now this morning we are with Sheila Perez in the studio. And welcome and good morning, Sheila.
Good morning, Father. How are you?
Well, I'm well, and yourself?
I'm good, thanks. I'm laughing at the way you pronounce my surname.
Am I pronouncing it good or maybe, how do you pronounce it?
It's simply Perish.
Perish.
There we go. You Perish. Said it well.
Thanks very much.
At least you didn't say Perish.
Yes, Sheila, how is this morning? How are you?
I'm well, and how are you, Father?
I'm well. And what do you want to share with us this morning in the studio?
Well, usually we come here every Thursday, and we thank Radio Veritas for that, for affording us the time just to share a little bit about the updates from the Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference, which has been quite busy. I don't know if you recall, but last week when we spoke, I did give an introduction of what was to happen on Thursday yes. morning, which was the handover of the policy document to the government, to the G20 government, or presidency,
beautiful.
Rather,
beautiful.
G20 yes. presidency. And so that happened at Khanya House. It was the bishop in charge of the social action department of the SACBC, which is Bishop Thulani Victor Mbuyisa, CMM, together with Sister Magdalene from yes. Botswana, and other religious that were there, including Father Charles Chilufya, the Jesuit, who has been journeying, or rather working hand-in-hand with the Justice and Peace Commission
yes.
as far as the G20 is concerned. Sister Zelna was also there. Caritas Africa was also represented. JRS was also represented. We also had women from, activists, young women. We also had a representative from the UN Women, Ms. Dr. Jacqueline. And so the advocacy document really calling for food security, debt eradication, looking at health, especially women's health as well, and many other aspects that will be dealt with during the G20. So this document was handed over to Dr. Lawrence Matemba,
okay.
who was representing the G20 presidency.
Beautiful. And what will be the come out now from the document itself?
Well, the document has been done. It's been finalized. Remember that document was based on the meeting that we had, the G20 conference that we had in Cape Town
yes.
earlier in the year. So following that meeting and all the deliberations, then Justice and Peace together with the Jesuits of African Madagascar and all the other faith-based representatives drafted the document and eventually produced the final document, which was then handed over to the G20 presidency on Thursday. So that's one thing that has happened as far as Justice and Peace and the G20 presidency is concerned.
And what would you like the listeners to hear, about the work which now you have done on G20?
Well, what can I say? We now wait to see what's going to happen during the G20 meeting, which is obviously for head of states. But I need to say also that the Justice and Peace is not only stopping at that. Mm. There are different events as a build-up to the actual G20 meeting. And also during the G20 meeting, as you know, the G20 meeting inside the conversations, or rather inside the hall or whatever venue they'll use, is the heads of states and usually one or two representatives from the different faith-based organizations. In this case, most probably the Apostolic Nuncio. We don't know if the Vatican Cardinal Parolin will be here or not, but usually the Vatican also sends a representative to such meetings. And so what will happen is the Justice and Peace will hold a sideline, or rather a parallel event for all those Catholics and Christians that will be present here. So we will be having a parallel event as well. Date and time, or rather place and time, are still to be finalized, but we do know it's going to happen on the 22nd of November, just parallel to the G20. But then stepping away also from the G20, we also have other events. We had recently, as you know, the Nostra Aetate at 60. The Vatican was celebrating that just 2 days ago. And so in ahead of that celebration, the interreligious dialogue of the ACCBC held their own celebration in partnership with Turkish Harmony, and this took place at the Cathedral of Christ the King last week Tuesday and ended on Wednesday at the Lenasia Catholic Church with the distribution of food parcels to the poor, to the hungry. But what was the one of the highlights of this event is that they brought together students, high school students from Catholic schools or Christian schools, secular schools, as well as high school students from Muslim schools. And so you had this combination of Muslims and Christians, amongst them Catholics, who were present there to listen to the importance of Nostra Aetate, why it was established, and the whole reason why there was a lot of young people also is to look at the future generation. How do we build a society where dialogue exists between the different religions?
And Sheila, just speak of Nostra Aetate, which is very, very important. It's one of the terminology which most of us, we don't understand it, especially if we find ourselves, you know, other side of the road. Can you say just a few words? What is Nostra Aetate?
Well, from what I gathered that day is that it's all about dialogue between Christians and Muslims.
Yes, very indeed. A dialogue between Christian and Muslims and on our days, during our days, basically during our days. What is happening during our days, especially when we are talking about faith, you know, around the globe.
I mean, you do see a lot of extremism, especially we don't have to go far. For example, you look at Mozambique, the north of Mozambique, where you have a certain group of jihadists or criminals using faith as a way to promulgate conflicts, as a way to promulgate terrorism in the area. So we're looking at things like that. We look at not understanding each other in terms of our faith and why we do the certain things we do. And and also we look at the image of Mother Mary, which is also a very important image even within the Muslims.
Mary brings us together because it's the mother, you know, she's the mother of everyone. And the Muslims, again, how they really depict Mary and how they respect, you know, the figure of the Mother of Christ.
Exactly. So really, Nostra Aetate, interreligious dialogue, it's about that, about creating a community that dialogues with each other, a community that journeys together, and also goes in line with the phase that we are living in, which is the Synodal Church.
Yes, indeed.
And speaking of the Synodal Church, I highlighted this in the previous sessions, that we have been giving different workshops, formation workshops. I don't know if you were following the Vatican news, there was the jubilee for synodal teams. And so our SACBC was represented by Father Ntlantla, who's the secretary of the Commission for Synodality, together with Lorica, who represents the laity at the same commission, and then Kati Dijani, who represents the youth and also assisting with communication within the Commission for Synodality of the SACBC.
Beautiful. Now, you mentioned something about the parallel now on the G20 and the Justice and Peace. Now, who is invited on that day?
On which day?
I mean, the day when they on the part of the Justice
and
Peace.
Oh, yes.
The one of the
everyone,
parallel.
Everyone is invited. All people of goodwill are invited. There will be a session for probably debates and above all, Mass. There will be a celebration of Mass, that all those deliberations that will be taking place by heads of states are really going towards what the Justice and Peace faith leaders, religious sisters are asking for.
Mm. Well, we are blessed in South Africa to have G20. I mean, all the leaders of the different states coming to South Africa to celebrate and to discuss. And we as South Africans, again, we need to participate and show how blessed we are and use that time profitably. Sure. Now, what are the fruits? Well, maybe we'll see the fruits after the G20. But what do you think of, you know, the fruits which we are waiting for? Because if you plant, you know, tomatoes, you'll expect that tomatoes will come up. Now, with G20, what will be the fruits of the nation?
Well, to be honest, I think one of the first things is the hunger, eradication of hunger. Lots of school children today are dropping out of school simply because they don't have access to proper meals. Pope Leo just recently at the FAO meeting in Rome, he also highlighted hunger and how certain people use what you call this hunger, not necessarily hunger, but food as a tool for war. And so, you know, it's important that we really look at this. Lots of children are going to bed hungry. Just this morning, we're hearing that on different news channels. We also need to look at the debt cancellation, especially debt cancellation of poorer countries. Yes, Africa is rich within because of its mineral resources, but we are still somehow poor. And we also have endless debts.
Yes.
And so we need to look at that as well. I think, of course, not forgetting women's health, because above all, women are the ones who give life.
Very true.
And so we need to look at that as well. I think for me, those will be some of the fruits that the church would like to see coming out of the G20 summit. But just a quick wrap-up about Synod and Synodality.
Yes.
As I was saying, our team is back. At least most of them are back now. And we're looking forward to hearing from them as to what they learned in Rome. And in the meantime, of course, the bishops are preparing for the final, or rather end-of-the-year board meeting. Mm. And that's when they'll be looking at the different reports from the different commissions. And like I said, Justice and Peace, I believe, is one of those departments that won't be resting yet, because yes, after the G20, they still have the 16 days of activism against a crime or violence against women and children. So that will be taking place towards the end of December, of November, I beg your pardon. But now, I'd like to, since I wasn't here, to honor the birthday celebrations. Happy birthday, Radio Veritas!
Ah, thanks very much, really, for celebrating this beautiful Thursday.
I hope you'll enjoy one of my favorites, a granadilla cake. Happy birthday. Oh, I'm told to open it. Okay.
Yes.
Okay,
there we go. My God. That's the cake I love.
Happy birthday to Radio Veritas. I believe it was a beautiful celebration. Congratulations, 26 years. Wow.
And on behalf of the priests, you know, we're working today, this week in Radio Veritas, I am representing them. So I'm going to eat the cake on their behalf.
By yourself. Well,
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Who says hooray?
Hooray!
All right.
And that was Sheila Parrish.
Lord have mercy, I have perished now.
I'm sorry, Sheila. Now I have to pronounce, I'm going to come to your place and try my own to pronounce this. Would you please pronounce for me again? Parrish?
There, you said it.
Parrish.
You said it.
Thanks very much, Sheila Parrish, for being with
you.
Us this morning. And may God bless you and have a beautiful day. And thanks for the cake and for the priests in the country, those who have been working in Radio Veritas during this week. I'm going to eat this cake on your behalf.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Thank you, Khanya. Thank you, Father. And thanks to the listeners as well. And I'm now heading to Padre Pio, where in Ibiza priests are gathered on a week-long workshop on mental health, and it's coming to an end today, so I'll be going there just to find out from them how they found this week-long workshop on mental health self-care, which is very important.
Very indeed, very important. Mental health care, we need to take care of ourselves. That's very, very important.
That's right.
Thanks very much, Sheila, and you are in our prayers, and they are in our prayers, and ask them to pray for us, and we need to take care of ourselves. Then next time you're going to tell us about the mental health care, especially on the priest and religious.
Amen. We'll do. We'll certainly do. Ciao, ciao.